This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break. Yours.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Treasury Department has asked for a probe into former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's possible misuse of documents that may have been classified, a department spokesman said Monday. But O'Neill maintained that he didn't take any documents. Of concern is the document as shown on 60 Minutes that said secret. A spokesman said it was standard operating procedure to refer such a matter to the Treasury's Office of the Inspector General, which investigates potential wrongdoing involving the department. O'Neill said a cover page for the documents might have suggested they were classified material. He said he gave them to former Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Suskind. Suskind said O'Neill gave him 19,000 documents for research on his new book. He said the documents are not classified, and he consulted with legal counsel throughout the process. The United States is shifting its position on which countries will be allowed to bid for a second round of major reconstruction contracts in Iraq, and will allow Canadian firms to compete, a Canadian official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on the sidelines of a summit of America's leaders in Mexico, said it also was likely that French and German companies would be allowed to compete for the contracts. The United States angered a number of countries late last year when it insisted that only companies from countries that supported the U.S.-led war in Iraq would be allowed to bid for major reconstruction contracts. Republican U.S. Representative Christopher Shays has added his voice to a growing chorus of lawmakers calling on Connecticut Governor John G. Rowland to resign, saying he's lost the trust of the people of this state. In a news conference at the state capitol Monday, Shays said he had been prepared to forgive Rowland for initially lying about his acceptance of gifts from a state contractor and employees, but that he couldn't stand by a governor who refused to account for his actions. Rowland, a Republican, is under fire for lying about gifts he received in the form of improvements to his summer cottage. More IE America news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Miami man who lived on a golf course for 40 years was told to leave because some golfers complained that he scared them. Other golfers, however, claim the man is harmless and say he should be allowed to stay. Kenny Bethel first showed up at the country-owned golf course after he ran away from home in 1963. He collected and resold stray golf balls, used the club's showers and toilets at night, and slept in a sheltered area that housed the showers. For the last 9 years, he had been joined by his wife, Frances. They have since relocated to a space under a nearby bridge. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Have you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner, and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer?
Yeah,
you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network here, speaking to you from high up in the Green Mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont. Boy, lots of stuff in the news today. James Baker, did you see this? Now assigned the task of reducing Iraq's debt, Presidential Envoy James A. Baker III, this from the Associated Press, once gave crucial support for continuing a billion-dollar loan program to Saddam Hussein's government that accounts for most of the money that Iraq still owes the United States. Joyce Battle, a Middle East analyst for the National Security Archives, said, quote, documents indicate he intervened personally to make sure that Iraq continued to receive high levels of funding, end quote. The AP goes on to note that U.S. officials were well aware at the time, this was during the senior Bush administration, that Saddam had used chemical weapons against Iran and Iraqi Kurds. Interesting. Yeah. And here, this is interesting. The civil rights attorney in Utah is trying to overturn the state's ban on polygamy, pointing back to the Texas sodomy law. Remember when the Supreme Court in the Texas sodomy case said that states don't have the right to go into people's bedrooms and tell them what type of conduct they may engage in and with whom, as long as it's consenting adults? The congressman from Rick Santorum just went ballistic and said, well, now you're going to have people having sex with animals. Well, they haven't gone that far, but this lawsuit says Salt Lake County clerks refused a marriage license to a couple because the man was married to another woman who had consented to the additional marriage. And denying the marriage license, the county violated the plaintiff's First Amendment right to practice their religion. Of Mormonism, attorney Brian Barnard said in the complaint. Of course, you know, Joseph Smith had a bunch of wives and so on, you know. And so should polygamy be re-legalized in the United States? It's interesting. My little bit of contact with this was a decade or more ago. We were visiting some friends of ours in the Middle East, And they rented an apartment in the top half of a house, and the bottom half of the house and another building next to it was the property of the landlord, who was a guy in his 60s, who had four wives. And in Islam, you're entitled to have up to four wives. And he had all four of them. And he had his 60-ish-year-old wife, and she clearly ran the house. We went down and had dinner with them, spent some time with them. And she clearly ran the house. And then there was a 40-ish wife who seemed to supervise some areas of things. I'm not quite sure what the pecking order was there. There was a 30-ish wife and a 20-ish wife who had a brand-new baby. And they, you know, as a visitor, it seemed like a very happy household. But, you know, heaven only knows. The studies that I've seen on polygamy seem to indicate that it's generally pretty exploitative of the women involved. And I don't know of any polygamous societies where it's one woman and many men. So, but anyway, should it be legal? Good question. What are your thoughts? Hardliners have thrown Iran's legislative election. Oh, I want to hold that for a second here. Actually, to start out, we have a Berlusconi alert. Yes, indeed, folks. This courtesy of Shelby at radiopower.org. Thanks, Shelby. Italy's Constitutional Court dealt... well, first of all, for those of you who are new to the program, Silvio Berlusconi, you're hearing the national anthem of Italy. Silvio Berlusconi was a small-time crook and businessman who bought a radio station and then bought a TV station and then bought another radio station and then bought another TV station and then built a TV network. And he now owns 90%, directly or indirectly, now owns 90% of the radio and television media in Italy. And the remaining 10% is the Italian equivalent of public broadcasting, and he has put on its board of directors exclusively people from his own party and who are friends of his. And after he did this, he did the public broadcasting of Italy stuff after he became prime minister, but he built this radio and TV empire first. And started buying newspapers as well. He owns about, I don't remember the percentage, my recollection is around half of the newspaper total circulation in Italy he owns. And once he had all the media of Italy in his hand, he ran for prime minister. Now, of course, in Italy you don't actually run for prime minister. You get all these candidates for your party, and they run, and they have loyalty to you, and they say that they'll make you the prime minister. And that's what happened. So he essentially ran for prime minister, and surprise, surprise, he won. The problem is that they still have a few uncorrupted judges in Italy, these guys who are just relentless in going after the mafia. In Italy, like with the United States federal courts, judges are appointed for life and therefore don't have to worry that the prime minister might not like what they have to say. And there is a judge in Italy who has... been going after Berlusconi. Well, not just one judge, actually. It's a total of now, let's see, six times, as I recall. Eight times. Here we are. Berlusconi, a billionaire media mogul turned politician, has stood trial on eight occasions in the past 10 years on various graft charges tied to his business empire. So far, there has not been a guilty verdict. However, they had him. They had him nailed here about a year ago. And at the same time, by coincidence, Italy got the presidency of the European Union, the European Confederation, the EU, rotates every 6 months. A different leader of a different nation becomes the president of the European Union. And Italy got their turn. And this was like 5 months ago, 6 months ago. And Berlusconi became the president of the European Union. Well, immediately, the Italian parliament passed a law. Now, this was in the middle of a trial where Berlusconi was being charged with trying to bribe a judge, and his business partner was being charged with it. Immediately, the parliament got together, which, of course, is controlled by Berlusconi. I mean, they're his buddies. He has the governing coalition. And passed a law that said that while the prime minister is in office, he can't be prosecuted for any crimes. Now, I don't think this was so much Berlusconi cronyism as it was national embarrassment. You know, they didn't want it. Nobody in Italy wanted their prime minister to be prosecuted for bribery while he was president of the EU and the whole world was watching. And so now what happened yesterday, today, this morning, Italy's Constitutional Court, this is their equivalent of the Supreme Court, dealt Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi a severe setback Tuesday by ruling that a recent law which provided him immunity from prosecution was illegitimate and had to be revoked. The decision means that a corrupt, this is a Reuters story, the decision means that a corruption trial in Milan, where Berlusconi is accused of bribery and which was frozen last June when Parliament approved the law, will have to resume. Italy's top court said in a written ruling that the controversial legislation ran counter to the principle enshrined in the Constitution of Italy that everyone was equal before the law. Same as the 14th Amendment we have to our Constitution here in the United States. This trial is the most serious charge that has ever been leveled against Berlusconi. And although it was frozen this summer, his co-defendants continued. And they got nailed. His close friend Cesare Previti had handed over cash to a powerful Rome judge to keep him on friendly terms. He got 5 years in jail. This was Berlusconi's, you know, best friend and business partner. So the tangled tale continues, but the cautionary tale here is, you know, what happens when one guy or one party gets absolute control of the media? Italy is a cautionary tale, I think, for all the rest of us. Tony Blair this morning, this in the Scotsman, the Scottish newspaper, the main newspaper in Scotland, said, Tony Blair has admitted that he does not know whether Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction at the time of the Iraq war and is no longer confident of finding any. We have young men and women dying every day because we were told that the government of Iraq represented a grave and imminent threat, a clear and present danger to the United States, that they had tons and tons of anthrax and VX and all these sorts of things. And look at the chain. In fact, I want to play a clip from that. But first, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Philip in Florida is on the line. Hey, Philip, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi. Listen, I don't know if you are aware of it, because I don't know much television and radio you listen to, but you remember the guy who said, why don't you be nice to Mr. Bush, and he was in the Dean audience, and Dean pointed his finger at him and said, sit down, and I'm going to tell you, Bush is not my neighbor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it was day before yesterday, and Fox News had it smeared all over last night. They were ecstatic.
Right, right. Sam and everybody else saying he's got a hot temper. Turns out the guy was a plant.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The guy was a Republican activist, and and he was on the Hannity television show last night.
Interesting. Well, you know...
He admitted he was a Republican. He admitted he was an activist. When the wannabe liberal, I can't remember what his name is, who was on the Hannity television show, you know, he's so
Combs.
Noteworthy, I can't remember the guy's name.
Alan Combs?
Combs, yeah. Asked him... He admitted he had voted for Bush. He admitted he was a Republican. He admitted he was an activist.
Yeah. But see, that doesn't...
This was set up.
Yeah, it was a setup, Philip. But still, I think Howard Dean, frankly, I think Howard Dean blew it. He should have known that little soundbite of, you've had your turn to speak, now I'm taking mine. You know, he should have said it like, you know, do you mind if I say something here? I mean, there's appropriate ways to do that.
But wait a minute.
Howard Dean blew it. If this guy pushed his buttons that easily, he's got some work to do.
Some work to do. How many people remember during the primary when Ronald Reagan stood up and screamed, I paid for this microphone?
Oh, I know. I'm not saying that this is any reason why I wouldn't support Dean if he was nominated for president.
No, but you know, why overlooked?
Well,
see, when
of course,
when Reagan got up and did that, they all said, oh, you can see he was, you know, this and that, and boy.
The other thing,
you know,
the other thing, Philip, that I think is important is if you listen to what Dean said after he said, now I'm going to have my say. He said, you know, we need to take on Bush. Now, he had it was a pretty good screed there. So I thought it was I thought he handled himself okay, but that one phrase he needs to excise from his vocabulary. Philip, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need more tissues.
Sleep like
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
You
Ignorance Apparel. We cannot wait for the final proof. The smoking gun. It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Yes, indeed, folks. Clear and present danger, worth sacrificing the blood, the lives, the arms, the legs, the eyes of our young men and women, and over $170 billion of our wealth. And it's not there. And it's not there. But we got some great stuff here on Paul O'Neill and we'll get to it in a minute. First of all, the Dean Heckler seems to have lit up the lines. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Is that Rob from opednews.com? Hey, Rob. Char? He should be there. Rob, are you there? He's not there. Okay, well, let's move on to Armin in Florida. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, how are you?
I'd like
to talk a little bit about the immigrants, and if you don't mind, and then about Greenspan in Berlin. I think Bush is where he belongs in Mexico because the kind of government he wants is, you know, the prize and the model of it's Mexico, you know, the $50 handshakes.
Well, he's trying to bring back a banana republic to the United States, you know, push the middle class into poverty. You know, they're more easily terrified, more easily controlled. As Greenspan has said, you know, we want to create insecurity among workers so that they don't demand higher wages. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the Bush crime family, I think they picked out Mexico of their economic model because they're not bringing Mexico up. They're bringing the U.S. down to that level.
Sure. It's the great leveling. I mean, that's NAFTA and GATT. That's exactly what Ross Perot was talking about, and he was right.
Oh, totally. And anyway, I'd like to say something real quick. I was reading on the Internet about immigrants, and I didn't know this, but 33% of the people in our prisons in the United States now are non-citizens. And
really?
As far as 33%.
I find that hard to believe. That's got to be like 33% of a particular type of criminals because I don't remember the number now, but for example, the number of people who are in prison on drug violations is just huge.
It says non-citizens.
Huh. Interesting.
Anyway, and it says 42% of the illegals are getting welfare that's costing us $50,000 a family. Now, anyway,
then Armin, you got some nonsense statistics there because there is no family on earth that's getting $50,000 a year.
No, that's what it costs. Not that the family's getting it directly, but the bureaucracy and the total cost from the taxpayers
The overhead on Medicare is 1%. I'm guessing
I'm
that the overhead
Medicare,
on most
I'm
of our other welfare systems,
the whole thing, food
right.
stamps,
right.
housing, health care, yeah. the whole thing. It's $50,000 when they figure. What it takes for the bureaucracy.
What's,
and the
what's your source on this, Armin?
Rents, RENSE.com, RENSE.com. There's an article right up there posted. You can see it about the true welfare cost.
Got it. Thanks, Armin, for sharing that. I appreciate it. I'm sorry, that's not a credible source for me. Rents very occasionally has great stuff, and he's a good guy. And sometimes there's stuff on there that I'm just really unsure of. Rob in Newtown, Pennsylvania, you still there?
There's
Rob's. Hey, is that Rob?
That's Rob Call, yeah.
Hey, Rob. Welcome back.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what Fox did to Dean yesterday after he responded to that Republican jerk in the audience,
right.
very appropriately, in my opinion. He didn't get angry. He got tough. And he stood up to the guy and he said, all right, that's enough. Now be quiet. And damn, I wish we could do that to a whole bunch of Fox people because that whole network.
So you don't think the Dean made a strategic error in saying that, and that little news clip is going to I think he should have known that if he said something like that, that one little 4-second clip is going to be replayed over and over and over again by the Republicans during the campaign in November if he becomes the nominee. And I think it's going to scare away a lot of moderate middle of the road voters.
Tough, and he did the right thing.
Yeah. Okay, Rob. I appreciate your feedback. Thanks a lot for calling. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. Our program brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. We'll be back right after this.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A growing health crisis comes down to one simple fact. People are not eating their vegetables. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The World Health Organization estimates that 3 million people die each year because they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That makes this diet deficiency almost as risky as smoking. And the problem is found in every country, rich and poor alike. Some of the world's most widespread nutritional disorders, including birth defects, weakened immune systems, and blindness, are caused by diets lacking in fruits and vegetables. Ellen Muehlhoff is a nutritionist with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. She says a lot of people cannot get fresh produce.
What is very important is that fruits and vegetables are accessible to people on a daily basis. That means that they must be able to either grow them in their own garden or be able to buy them in the supermarket or the little fruit vendor around the corner shop. So I think that's a very important issue, availability and easy physical access as well.
Muehlhoff says ignorance also plays a role in poor diets.
A lot of people simply don't realize that fruits and vegetables have a very important role for their health, that they have benefits not only in terms of preventing micronutrient deficiencies, but they also have very important benefits in terms of disease prevention. We are learning more every day about the important protective effects of eating fruits and vegetables, such as they provide protection against cardiovascular disease, against diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancers as well.
Muehlhoff offers the same advice you've heard all your life. Eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day, and make sure your local schools include these items in their lunch menus. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylor Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Accounted for and is capable of killing millions. We know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemical agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, VX nerve gas.
Yeah, and we know that it was all destroyed back in the 1990s. But but that didn't seem to matter in 2001 when this administration took power. And Paul O'Neill says, well, he said, let's go after them. Anyhow, Kevin in Tampa, Florida has some thoughts on the Dean heckler. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you, Kevin?
Oh, great. Listen, I called. I disagree with you about this being negative for Dean.
Yeah, so did Rob.
And I'll tell you exactly
why. I'm
impressed. Everybody seems to forget this. First, the 2002 election, the Democrats were rightly criticized for being wimps and not challenging Bush.
They were too nice.
Right. Okay? So Dean starts showing this, what they refer to as anger, which is anger, but can also be referred to as passion, and the media starts calling him angry.
Yeah.
But what's rightly forgotten, and which I think can be used to cause a backfire when this attack, because that's just an attack on Dean, because they really are scared of him. I really believe that.
Oh, it's so clear. You know, you've got Republicans in Iowa running ads in the Democratic primary, in the Democratic caucuses, against Howard Dean. It's very clear that George Bush is concerned
that if Howard Dean is the nominee,
he could lose.
I was at the Dean meeting the other day. And I pointed out to them, because this came up there, that in 72, they didn't attack McGovern. They went after Muskie.
Oh, yeah. They took down Muskie because they had done their polling, and they knew that if Muskie ran against Nixon, Nixon would lose. And
but
so they brought down Muskie, and they got McGovern.
Here's the point from my call.
Yep.
In 1980, Reagan showed this anger, and it was all positive. I remember him taking that microphone at that debate they had at in New Hampshire, screaming at H.W. Bush. Remember that? This is my microphone I paid for?
No, I paid for this microphone.
Right. And then later being heckled in the crowd, and he yelled back and told the heckler to sit down. Now, I'm sure that's the Democratic Party has that, and if they try to use this against Dean, just remind, you know, because even though I don't like him,
you know, Kevin, I think you're right.
Like Reagan, remind people this is what Reagan did, and you called it strength.
You know, Kevin, I think you're right. I am.
You remember?
I am a man of strong opinions, but I'm also willing to admit when I may be wrong. And what Rob said, what you said, it's you have reframed it for me, and it's making sense.
Remember that Reagan heckler, and remember how Reagan handled things. And
yeah, but see, on the other hand, Reagan wasn't up against Democrats who were doing super detailed psychographic research, focus groups, testing every little thing to find out what freaks people out and what doesn't, and using essentially psychological warfare as a form of advertising. And the Republicans are doing that, and they've been doing that ever since George Bush came into office. In fact, it goes back to the Willie Horton ads. They've been doing that.
And the Democratic Party is, too.
If the Democratic Party was effective at it, they would have won a whole lot more than they have. They have been absolute and total wimps. They've had so much ammunition handed to them.
He needs to get the nomination and have new people running the party.
I agree. Or somebody needs to get the nomination who's going to change things, who's going to shake things up in the Democratic Party. Because this DLC thing, you know, the Democratic Leadership Council or Committee, they are. It's a sellout to big business in America. It's Republican light. And what was it? Harry Truman said, any Democrat is faced with an opportunity. This is I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember verbatim, but any Democrat faced with an opportunity to vote for a Republican or a Democrat who behaves like a Republican will choose the Republican every time. And that was the Democratic president who said that. And, you know, yeah. Okay, Kevin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Good comment. And maybe you guys are right. Time will tell, of course. We will see. And, but yeah, I mean, Dean certainly is a no-nonsense guy. I mean, that you know, I think that's part of the disposition or the personality type that it is necessary to become a doctor even, you know, to say, yes, I've made the diagnosis and here's what I'm prescribing and, you know, just brr, like that. And Dean certainly, I mean, you know, he was that kind of governor here in Vermont. He never got angry that I remember as governor. But he certainly was forceful at times. So we can reframe that. Anyhow, we're all familiar with Paul O'Neill and all of this stuff. Andy Borowitz, the Borowitz Report, borowitzreport.com. Breaking news. Paul O'Neill captured. Former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill was captured Sunday night in a surprise raid on the CBS studios in New York, the Pentagon confirmed today. We got him, a coolly confident Vice President Dick Cheney announced to the press moments after Mr. O'Neill was apprehended. At a Pentagon briefing, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld said that the military determined Mr. O'Neill's whereabouts after seeing promos for his 60 Minutes interview during the Indianapolis Colts-Kansas City Chiefs playoff game on Sunday. According to Secretary Rumsfeld, special forces operatives swarmed over the 60 Minutes set shortly after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, accidentally grabbing Andy Rooney before releasing him and nabbing Mr. O'Neill. Hours later, images were beamed around the world showing the former Treasury Secretary being examined by a military doctor and checked for lice. Defending the decision to seize Mr. O'Neill, Mr. Rumsfeld said that the Patriot Act permits former cabinet members who make insulting remarks about the White House to be arrested and detained forever. Rumsfeld chuckled, "Maybe Mr. Jerky should have thought twice before shooting off his mouth, eh?" Speaking from the summit of the Americas in Mexico, President George W. Bush greeted the news of Mr. O'Neill's capture with a buoyant good riddance, arguing that, quote, the world is a safer place, end quote. With Mr. O'Neill in custody, Mr. Bush added, Paul O'Neill is no longer free to call people blind and deaf who are not actually blind and or deaf, end quote. From Andy Borowitz. Now, that said, you know, it raises a couple of interesting points. One is the idea that the Patriot Act allows, you know, Andy Borowitz, of course, tongue-in-cheek, says, permits former cabinet members who make insulting remarks about the White House to be arrested and detained forever. I mean, John Adams in 1798 actually got a law passed as part of the Alien and Sedition Acts that made this possible. And the first guy he went after, in fact, before he had even signed the bill into law, they arrested Benjamin Franklin Bache, I'm not sure how, B-A-C-H-E, who was the grandson of Benjamin Franklin, who published a newspaper called the Aurora. And Bache had said that Adams was old, toothless, querulous, and balding. And Adams Abigail was the one who really got upset about this. She was outraged. You read her letters back to John where she's just furious that these guys are attacking him and demanding that he take action and that he pass some kind of legislation and that he throw them in jail and on it goes. I mean, you know, the Republican biographies of John Adams now, it's just so incredible how they completely gloss over the fact that the reason he lost the presidency to Thomas Jefferson was because of the Alien and Sedition Acts, his version of the Patriot Act. So anyhow, number one, there is some precedent for that in American history, and we made it through, and we came out the other side. The other is Paul O'Neill is now being investigated by the Treasury Department for the top secret documents. Well, I saw the top secret document that they were talking about on 60 Minutes. I saw the segment, and they showed it, and it's the one that I've been sharing with you for a year now. That was the document that was pried out of the Cheney Energy Task Force meeting by a lawsuit from Judicial Watch. You can see it on the internet at judicialwatch.org. There's links to it off our website. And it was the document where they had carved up the Iraqi oil fields and come up with a list of potential suitors for each one of the oil wells. And this, you know, 40 different countries and companies. And this was back in April of 2001. And, you know, Paul O'Neill had the same document, but it's already been released. It's been, you know, so, but nonetheless, consider this. Remember Bob Woodward's book, Bush at War, or something, I think it was Bush at War was the title, this incredible suck-up job that Bob Woodward did about how, you know, what a valiant warrior George Bush is, and he's right out there. Rah, 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 rah. Well, this from the foreword of Bob Woodward's book, Bush at War. And I quote, contemporaneous notes taken during more than 50 National Security Council and other meetings where the most important decisions were discussed and made are contained in this book, or he was given access to. Many direct quotations of the president and the war cabinet members come from these notes. Other personal notes, memos, calendars, written internal chronologies, transcripts, and other documents were also the basis for direct quotations. And as the Providence Journal noted on April 10th, no investigation was requested. After the Providence Journal reported that, quote, Bob Woodward said the president gave reporters 90 minutes, often speaking candidly about classified information. Certainly Richard Nixon would not have allowed reporters to question him about classified information like that. Bush's father wouldn't allow it. Clinton wouldn't allow it, end quote. This is what Bob Woodward said. So George Bush does it for a flattering biography, passes out classified information and gives an inside glimpse into the White House. And Bob Woodward makes another $1 million. Paul O'Neill does it, and he gets investigated. And life moves on. Anyhow, Tony Blair has said no weapons of mass destruction that he knew of. By the way, remember the balsa wood airplane that George Bush tried to? They had a photograph of a model airplane. It was you know, like a 3-foot wingspan. It's made out of balsa wood, and when they actually found the thing, it was held together with masking tape. And they labeled this an unmanned aerial reconnaissance vehicle, as I recall. Well, here's the clip.
We've also discovered through intelligence that Iraq has a growing fleet of manned and unmanned aerial vehicles.
Now, the manned aerial vehicles that they had were not a growing fleet. It was the Iraqi Air Force, and we bombed it into smithereens. There was nothing left of it.
It could be used to disperse chemical or biological weapons across broad areas.
And then number one, this didn't exist, and the CIA was telling him it didn't exist. This is not, you know, I mean, here. And then he implies that they're going to bring this stuff to us. This is the crux of the case for war, that there's a clear and present danger.
We're concerned that Iraq is exploring ways of using these UAVs for missions targeting the United States.
Same. And there was absolutely no evidence of that whatsoever. Now, Michael Ankrum, the shadow foreign secretary, this is in the United Kingdom. Now, what they have, basically, you've got the other party sets up their own cabinet with their own foreign secretary and their own what we would have the Secretary of State, and they have a shadow version of it. The minority party has their own. He said, in other words, if there's a change, if Labor loses and the Conservatives come in, then these are the people who are going to be the new cabinet. So Mr. Blair, he says, Mr. Blair did not admit to such doubts when making the case for war last year. The shadow foreign secretary, Ankrum, says, quote, once again, Tony Blair is hedging his bets. He should come clean and explain whether his previous claim to have evidence of weapons of mass destruction was yet another fabrication, and if not, what that evidence was. You have a right to trust the prime minister if he tells you he has information. If he hasn't, this raises very serious questions about the way he has conducted himself in the run-up to this war.
Condition for ending the Persian Gulf War, the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop all support for terrorist groups. The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations.
And now that we discover that other than his sending $25,000 to Hamas whenever somebody blew themselves up in Israel, Saddam Hussein actually had complied with all those things, and the UN knew it, and they kept, and Hans Blix kept trying to tell, and France and Germany and all these other countries, Russia, China, they were all saying to Bush, there's no weapons of mass destruction there, guys. Let the inspectors look some more, because, you know, we don't think there's anything there. It amazes me when I hear cons trying to rewrite history. Oh, well, France thought there were weapons of mass destruction. No, they didn't. If they did, they would have supported the war. Well, Germany thought that. Well, Bill Clinton thought there were weapons of mass destruction. Yeah, back in 1986. But he, you know, he had the reports from Scott Ritter. He, you know, by 98, there was nothing left there. We had this guy in the box. Yesterday, Tony Blair dropped his claims that the Iraq Survey Group had found, quote, clandestine laboratories. This is, he made this claim last week or a week and a half ago. And immediately, Paul Bremer, being told of the claim, but not being told that Tony Blair had said it, said, oh, that's just a red herring. He thought it was like, you know, misinformation or disinformation or something like that. So, anyhow, oh, let's just finish this.
It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons.
Nope.
It is seeking nuclear weapons.
Nope, not at all.
We must also never forget.
And this, now, here comes the psychological warfare part. Not a single Iraqi was involved in 9/11. Colin Powell acknowledged this just a few days ago. The president acknowledged it several months ago. Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Saddam Hussein was a mortal enemy of Osama bin Laden.
The most vivid events of recent history. On September the 11th, 2001, America felt its vulnerability.
In the same breath as speaking of Saddam. That's how they did it. That's why 60% of Americans think Saddam had something to do with 9/11. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free. 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Mike
Animal Life Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your tack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted. Got the dog in one hand. Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House. And then the guy says, "It's a friendly airplane," and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" They're really saying, "I love you." I hear
faces. Iraq is attempting to purchase high-strength aluminum tubes and other equipment needed for gas centrifuges, which are used to enrich uranium for nuclear weapons. If the Iraqi regime is able to produce, buy, or steal an amount of highly enriched uranium a little larger than a single softball, it could have a nuclear weapon in less than a year.
I think to myself,
what a wonderful world. Wonderful world. Life is good. Life is good. And life is something, it is such a gift to be alive. I'm sitting here watching the snow falling here in Vermont. We're having a bit of a blizzard. It's actually just thinned out a little bit just in the last few minutes. And I'm reminded what a gift life is. And that 500, more or less, of our young men and women have lost their lives, and several thousand have lost arms or legs or eyes or ears or been disfigured. For what? To make this nation more secure? I mean, no. We must in November of this year make a change in the White House. We just absolutely must. Now we have Venezuela. Venezuela's Chavez says the U.S. is seeking his overthrow. Did you see this in Reuters? Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez accused the United States on Sunday of plotting to overthrow through a coup or assassination should his opponents fail to secure a referendum vote against him this year. Chavez had taken the oil fields of Venezuela and said, "We're going to use this money for, you know, for social programs rather than let private corporations own the oil." You'll recall Bush said, don't destroy the oil wells. They are a source of wealth for the Iraqi people when he attacked Iraq. Well, Venezuela, Chavez thought the same thing about Venezuela. Now he is quaking in his boots. Is this really the kind of country we want to be? I think we can hold ourselves to a higher and more noble standard, frankly. This is Tom Hartman, Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The United States is shifting its position on which countries will be allowed to bid for a second round of major reconstruction contracts in Iraq and will allow Canadian firms to compete, a Canadian official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on the sidelines of a summit of America's leaders in Mexico, said it also was likely that French and German companies would be allowed to compete for the contracts. The United States angered a number of countries late last year when it insisted that only companies from countries that supported the U.S.-led war in Iraq would be allowed to bid for major reconstruction contracts. Republican U.S. Representative Christopher Shays has added his voice to a growing chorus of lawmakers calling on Connecticut Governor John G. Rowland to resign, saying he's lost the trust of the people of this state. In a news conference at the state capitol Monday, Shays said he had been prepared to forgive Rowland for initially lying about his acceptance of gifts from a state contractor and employees, but that he couldn't stand by a governor who refused to account for his actions. Rowland, a Republican, is under fire for lying about gifts he received in the form of improvements to his summer cottage. The Treasury Department has asked for a probe into former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's possible misuse of documents that may have been classified, a department spokesman said Monday, but O'Neill maintained that he didn't take any documents. Of concern is the document as shown on 60 Minutes that said secret. A spokesman said it was standard operating procedure to refer such a matter to the Treasury's Office of the Inspector General, which investigates potential wrongdoing involving the department. O'Neill said a cover page for the documents might have suggested they were classified material. He said he gave them to former Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Suskind. Suskind said O'Neill gave him 19,000 documents for research on his new book. He said the documents are not classified, and he consulted with legal counsel throughout the process. More IE America news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A 5-inch fisherman
Miami
with
man
three
who
nasty
lived on golf course for 40
advises
years
was told to leave because some golfers complained
that
he scared
them. Place in the 7th annual
Other golfers,
Wacky
however, claimed the man is harmless and
said organizers of the contest, the Michigan lawsuit
Kenny Bethel first
watch,
showed up at the country and golf course to which
after he ran away from
go
home in order to avoid lawsuits.
He collected
and
resold stray golf balls, used the club's showers
first prize last week was a warning label found on a bottle of drain showers.
The label
for the
reads,
last 9 years,
you
did not
understand
or cannot
Francis.
Read all directions, cautions, and warnings. Do not use this product.
For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner, and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, friends. Here we are live, coast to coast, talking about the issues of the day. And from time to time, we'll have somebody on who is knowledgeable about said issues. A native of Massachusetts, Chuck Morse, has hosted Radio Talk since 1996, where he's forged a reputation as a conservative intellectual. He's also the author of several books and is running for Congress right now in the 4th District of Massachusetts against Congressman Barney Frank. Chuck, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you, Tom. Nice to be on again.
Thank you. It's nice to have you back here, Chuck. I always it's always great to have you on, and I value your opinions. What do you think about, even though I disagree with most of them, what do you think about this Howard Dean, quote, blow-up, end quote, yesterday? You think this is going to hurt him or help him?
Well, I think it's going to probably help him with his core constituency, which are people who despise Bush with this irrational hatred. And but yet I think in the general election, if he does become the nominee, it's going to hurt him badly because most people in this country admire Bush.
Yeah, well, whether or not most people in this country admire Bush, my thought was that that little clip will be played for middle America over and over. Well, who knows? We'll see.
Yep.
We'll see.
It doesn't hurt him with the core.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems so. I've had several calls to the show from folks saying, you know, hey, yeah, we need somebody who will stand up, finally. You know,
right.
Al Gore didn't stand up when they attacked him. And this guy, you know, he had a Republican plant in the audience, and he stood up and said, you sit down, I'm going to say my say. And maybe it's high time for us to have a politician who's got some spine. But,
it wasn't very presidential, but...
I can tell you, as
a candidate myself, that I'm always being counseled to not do that, even though I would tend to be more like a Howard Dean in a situation like that.
Yeah, Well, you know, one of our callers pointed out that Reagan, you know, said, remember in the first debate?
Right. Hey, that's our microphone, Mr. Green.
Yeah, I paid for that microphone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was very effective. No, it could be like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it shakes out.
Somebody dropping the mask a little and showing some real personality.
Yeah, so now we have the situation in Iraq where Tony Blair this morning has said that he doesn't know if there were ever weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, essentially admitting that he lied to his people. Paul O'Neill telling us that George Bush lied to us consistently and methodically for a year and a half or more into a situation where now hundreds of our young men and women have died. And what are you guys going to do on the right there? Just blame it on Bill Clinton?
Well, it's not a matter of blaming. I praise Bill Clinton. And, in fact, most of the members of Congress, including my opponent, Barney Frank, who did believe that Saddam Hussein was in the process of obtaining weapons of mass destruction. I mean, President Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and Secretary of Defense William Cohen and all the rest were on record as saying that they thought that he did as well. And they had a plan in place as well to try to deal with Iraq. They didn't quite go far enough, I think. They did try. They did lob a few missiles. But President Bush has done the job. He has eliminated this brutal socialist dictatorship. He's freed over 25 million people. And I think the effect is already showing in that region. Now you have Libya, who after many months of quiet negotiation between American
after several
British,
years of quiet negotiations.
Exactly. There you have it. Thank you. Is now talking about getting rid of their programs.
Okay. Doesn't the situation in Libya then demonstrate the value of quiet negotiations instead of going in and bombing people?
No, I think that it demonstrates the fact that Libya sees what we did in Iraq, and they're responding to it, as is North Korea. And even now, I'm reading on Israeli intelligence websites, even Syria is talking about perhaps stopping their program. So I think that this is in direct response to an administration that has shown that they have the moral fortitude to have taken the measures they took. They wouldn't be happening otherwise. I mean, it certainly wasn't happening during the 8 years of Clinton when
let's
North Korea was
a few
doing nothing
errors
but building up.
Yeah, let's correct a few errors of fact here, Chuck. During the Clinton administration and toward the end of the Clinton administration, there was a pretty broad consensus that Saddam Hussein no longer had weapons of mass destruction. The weapons teams came back. They had said in 1998 that there were just a couple of spots that they hadn't been able to get to where they thought that he was hiding something. For several days, Clinton went in and bombed those sites. I mean, there was when you say, you know, Clinton thought that yes. See, this is the thing, you know, yesterday Bush says, like the previous administration, we were for regime change. I mean, there's a big difference between regime change being we're in favor of regime change in China, too.
Right.
And we have been for, what, 60 years?
Right.
We're in favor of regime change in Burma. I think that there's a consensus in America that we think that most dictatorships should become democracies.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we go to war with somebody.
Well,
going to war is the most dramatic and draconian thing a nation can do.
Not at all. I think, Tom, you and I could go back and forth. My understanding is that everyone in the Clinton administration, and certainly most people in Congress, including my opponent, believed that Saddam Hussein, including most leaders in the world, believed that he had the weapons of mass destruction or was in the process of getting them.
Now, I can't speak for Barney Frank.
I have Barney Frank writing a column on his own website. I have it right in front of me before the war, saying that he felt that Saddam Hussein.
Right, and why did he believe that? He believed that because he'd been lied to by George Bush.
No, he had said this back in the 90s as well. And the problem is that his solution.
Well, back in the 90s, Saddam did have weapons of mass destruction. By the way, if our callers want to get in on this.
Frank goes to, though, it was not to have the United States take any direct action. Instead, he wanted to look to the U.N. to do it. And the U.N., I think...
Which was working.
If there's one thing that we've learned from this whole episode, is that the U.N. is, at best, an amoral force, and at worst, it's ineffectual. It's made up of people who have various interests. You don't have a single moral voice. And I think that the United States has taken the type of action that we've traditionally taken, going back in history, going back to our freeing the Cubans from Spanish occupation in 1898, which is to help people free themselves from occupation.
We claimed at least an excuse there. We said that the USS Maine had been blown up.
I think it's the truth.
Well, no,
and
actually,
we had
the evidence is that the boiler exploded. the evidence of the USS Maine is that the boiler had exploded, not that we had been attacked.
Bush said that there was a gathering threat. And I think
that there was
a reason to move in. And don't forget, since the events of 9/11, President Bush has accurately identified the fact that we're not in any longer in a conventional war-type situation where you have people dressed in armor marching forth.
We weren't before, Chuck. Look at how we fought the British in 1776. Look at how the Vietnamese fought against us.
But the point is that now we're dealing with a situation where there are an international network of terrorists who are trying to kill Americans. Our administration has behaved in a way that most people support, and it's been in a way that has made us safer, not only by actions in Afghanistan and in Iraq, but in the fact that I think that these actions, and perhaps this will bear out in the coming years, but are having a domino effect in the same way that the collapse of communism had a domino effect in the late 1980s in Eastern Europe and in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, and the collapse of communism had been predicted 20 years earlier by the CIA, plus or minus 2 years accuracy, based on economics, not based on military.
It was based on also on spiritual, but putting that aside,
the country was falling apart. I was in Russia before they collapsed.
It should have fallen apart sooner if we hadn't been propping it up all those years. But the point is that it is having a positive effect, not only in the direct sense that the Iraqi people agree.
Let me just pause you there, Chuck, because you're stacking things on top of each other, and I gotta get in here and just let's take these points one by one, if you don't mind. Cool. You're saying then, it sounds to me like what you're saying is that if the United States decides to attack another country,
right,
even though we don't have any evidence, any credible evidence that that country represents a threat to us, we can do that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was planning on an attack on Germany years before Pearl Harbor. And
but he didn't do it.
No, but eventually he did. And the point of the matter is that he was planning on doing it, and he would have done it and did do it. And Germany didn't pose a particular threat to us. In fact,
Germany did pose a threat to us. Franklin, they had submarines off our shores.
Yeah, but they didn't. They weren't posing a threat to the sovereignty of the United States. In fact, they were trying to make overtures to have peace with us.
Germany declared war on the United States before we declared war on them.
Declared war in Germany after Pearl Harbor, but the point is that they had the submarines because Franklin D. Roosevelt was, and I think rightfully, by the way, aiding the British who were at war with Germany, and we were doing so in a very direct way. So he was already engaging in an aggressive war, and I think rightfully, and I think the same thing applies here. There are moral reasons why one needs to, especially a superpower like the United States, needs to be active in the world. I'm not an isolationist. I don't believe that we can simply. I don't believe in the libertarian idea that we have to, that everything stops at water's edge. I think that the United States traditionally and now should and ought to play a force, a moral force in the world, especially when it comes to freeing people from terrorism.
I agree, and I don't think that the way to do that is to kill 20,000 civilians and in a bombing raid. The way that we brought down the Soviet Union was simply by sitting and holding them at bay, effectively, and saying, our system works, your system doesn't. The United States is prospering, people in the Soviet. I was in Budapest, Hungary, when the wall in East Germany came down, and I was there the week before. I was there for a week, and all these East German refugees were starting to come into Hungary. And what everybody was talking about was the fact that the reason that East Germany could not stand was because the East Germans could get West German television. And they could see what it was like living in West Germany, and they simply weren't going to put up with their government anymore. People eventually overthrow dictatorships from within. Now, I am not opposed to us helping them do that, but in appropriate ways. But geez, are you honestly saying that you think that any country in the world that we just
not
don't
any,
like?
But I think that the difference between Iraq and the international Islamic infrastructure, if you will. And the old Soviet Union was that the Soviet Union at least had some scruples. They understood the idea of mutually assured destruction, that if they did something
Saddam Hussein had not reconstituted his weapons program. He had nothing. He was just sitting there. He was just trying to be fat off his oil.
you know,
what is, look at China. China has murdered 3 million of its own people. They murdered over 1 million people just in Tibet. They killed some 20 million people with a famine back in the 60s. And a lot of it was, you know, cold political calculation. It's a dictatorship of the very worst kind. And yet George Bush goes over there and says, Taiwan, you better not talk about becoming independent.
I think communists murdered over 100 million people, their own people. But the point I'm trying to make is that,
so
when
you
you're
think
talking
that
about today's terror threat with the Islamic terrorists, they don't have the scruples in terms of caring about even their own lives.
But they are not a nation, Chuck, and they are not Iraq.
Democracies and the United States, in any way they can, and they don't care if they all get killed in the way they think they're going to go to paradise if they get killed. So
right.
I understand all that,
Chuck. And you know, Greece handled the November 17th terrorist group, and Germany handled the Red Brigade, or no, Italy handled the Red Brigades, and Germany handled their, I forget which one it was, their terrorist group.
Yeah,
England handled the IRA, and they did all of them by saying these guys are criminals. Chuck, hang on the line. We got a couple of calls here. Tony in D.C. and Kent in Illinois, questions for you. This is Tom Hartman. We're talking to Chuck Morse, who's the candidate for the 4th Congressional District in Massachusetts. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
On the IE America Radio Network, we're talking with Chuck Morse, radio talk show host. Chuck has paused his program while he runs for Congress in the 4th District of Massachusetts against Congressman Barney Frank. Chuck, in 1770, there was not a single democracy on Earth. By 1800, there were three. By 1900, we were up to around 40 or so, and now there's well over 100 of 86 nations that, according to the United Nations, are full democracies, true democracies. And virtually without exception, now, I'll tell you in advance that I know that you will say the exceptions are Germany and Japan, but virtually without exception, those democracies have come about as a consequence of behavior from within rather than without. And in the case of Germany and Japan,
we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia.
Okay, we're back. I'm sorry we lost our connection there from Vermont to Detroit for a moment. I don't know if you, Chuck, if you heard me start this rant.
I got the gist of it, I think, Tom.
Into empty air. Yeah, that, you know, democracies come from within, and those are stable
right.
democracies, and the democracies that are imposed from without tend not to be stable.
And you want to know what I think of that?
Well, you know, I wonder why you think that we can go in and depose a dictator and instantly have democracy.
Well, I guess that my answer, Tom, is that what you call democracy or what I would call Republican government, which is, you know, free market government, is natural to man. It is a natural state for man to want to set up a government that preserves our God-given rights, and those rights are life, liberty, and property. And sure, it spreads.
Actually, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right,
it was life, liberty, and property that John Locke said,
well,
and
also,
the founders changed that to life,
and
liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
That's in the 14th Amendment as well, but... putting, you know, the idea of the right of the individual to own that which they've created and the government to protect that and is an idea that's natural to man. It goes back to the earliest of times, but there are always authoritarian faiths that try to circumvent it, and that hasn't gone away. It's certainly, while there are more democracies in the world, there have also been more authoritarian socialistic philosophies as well, like Nazism and communism, which basically are the same. But putting that aside, you know, when you have an authoritarian government, one that has
I love it when you slip those in there, Chuck. Nazism
when
and communism
have one that has no freedom of speech. When
you know, there were no corporations in a communist state, and the Nazi state was the merging of corporate and business interests.
The government is the corporation because the government owns everything is publicly owned. But
not in the Nazi state.
Well, the Nazi
Definition of fascism, Chuck, in the dictionary, the dictionary definition is the merging of corporate and state interests. The merging of corporate and state interests. Anyhow, we'll let you get back to that, and I'm going to pick up Tony's call here just on the other side of the break, and Kent and Ann in Sarasota, and we'll carry on with this. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking to Chuck Moore. Stay tuned, and if you'd like to call, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A growing health crisis comes down to one simple fact. People are not eating their vegetables. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The World Health Organization estimates that 3 million people die each year because they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That makes this diet deficiency almost as risky as smoking. And the problem is found in every country, rich and poor alike. Some of the world's most widespread nutritional disorders, including birth defects, weakened immune systems, and blindness, are caused by diets lacking in fruits and vegetables. Ellen Muehlhoff is a nutritionist with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. She says a lot of people cannot get fresh produce.
What is very important is that fruits and vegetables are accessible to people on a daily basis. That means that they must be able to either grow them in their own garden or be able to buy them in the supermarket or the little fruit vendor around the corner shop. So I think that's a very important issue, availability and easy physical access as well.
Muehlhoff says ignorance also plays a role in poor diets.
A lot of people simply don't realize that fruits and vegetables have a very important role for their health, that they have benefits not only in terms of preventing micronutrient deficiencies, but they also have very important benefits in terms of disease prevention. We are learning more every day about the important protective effects of eating fruits and vegetables, such as they provide protection against cardiovascular disease, against diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancers as well.
Muehlhoff offers the same advice you've heard all your life. Eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day, and make sure your local schools include these items in their lunch menus. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylor Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You were so cruel and I hated being your fool. So I got a little bit more blood on my face.
All right, welcome back. It's the Tom Hartman Program, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? Just a heads up, in the third hour of our program tomorrow, on Wednesday, we're going to be doing a live simulcast with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation station in Calgary, Canada, which is the city where the cow came from that was found with mad cow disease here in the United States. And they're going to have Canadians on talking about their thoughts about mad cow disease and in the United States, you know, whether we should be worried or not and what we're thinking about it. We're going to discuss whether we should have open borders and how, you know, how do we deal with this stuff. And I'll be taking callers here in the United States. They'll be taking callers there in Canada. We're going to link our two networks together. And so it'll be live in the third hour of the program tomorrow, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be talking with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation in Calgary. Should be a really interesting show. Just as a heads up, we're talking with Chuck Morse, who is a radio talk show host for the last few years, the author of several books. A website is chuckmorse.com, M-O-R-S-E, and is the candidate for Congress, the Republican candidate for Congress from the 4th District against Barney Frank. And Chuck and I love to mix it up here. Chuck's a good guy, even if he is a conservative, I think. Tony in Washington, D.C. has some thoughts on this. Hey, Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, welcome, man. Happy New Year to your guests.
Thank you, Tony.
I just think that just hearing his tone, he's very disingenuous about his saying that we have the right to go ahead and take the sovereignty of a nation without probable cause, and there is no probable cause for us to do so. I mean, if it wasn't for that fact, then we had missiles. Matter of fact, we have missiles now pointed at Russia. And at one time, we have gone over and shot one of those missiles to destroy the tyranny and the of Russia, of called the Soviet Union at this point. Also, like you said, we have China. So if China starts to say, hey, we have probable cause that Taiwan is going to go ahead and become a terrorist, do they now have the right to go ahead and be preempted?
Well, they've already suggested, Tony, that they may, based on this presumption. I mean, this is a violation of the rule of law that goes back before the founding of the United States. The Bill of Particulars was attached to the Declaration of Independence to justify the Declaration of declaring independence from and war against England. We said, you know, we have been attacked. We have been harmed. Here are the specific harms. Here are the proofs. Let the world know, it says in the Declaration of Independence. Now the world knows that there was no threat.
But if you look at it on the flip side, if England said, well, we know that these colonies are going to be a preemptive, so we're going to go ahead and do a strike on them, so they're going to go ahead and be a terrorist to the state of England. So we would have been in the subject as of now. So I just take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I'm just
still astounded, Chuck, that you will justify, simply because this is a Republican administration, in my opinion, the attacking of a nation that was in the middle of the process of being vetted by the United Nations as to whether or not it represented a threat to us. And all the indications were that it didn't. I mean, Hans Blix was explicit about it. I hear cons all the time say, oh, you know, France knew they had weapons of mass destruction. No, they didn't. France said that they didn't. That's why they didn't want to, that's why they didn't support us in the war. Oh, Russia knew they had weapons. No, they didn't. That's why they didn't support the war. Well, Germany knew that they had. No, they didn't. That's why they didn't support the war. How can you support this?
By the way, I don't think that there's anything disingenuous about my support of freeing Iraq from the brutal dictatorship of
Saddam
Hussein.
Why don't we start with
also,
Burma? Why don't we start with China? There's a lot more people under in slavery in China than there are in Iraq.
Liberation and protection of the people of Kosovo as well, something that we didn't have any national interest in, and
but there was
that
a
they
war
weren't
going
threatening
on
us with attacks. But we did it because the American people knew and that it was the right thing to do.
It was the humanitarian.
I would have been very happy to have seen Bill Clinton also intervene, and I think there was talk of doing so in Rwanda, where you had almost 1 million people killed in one of the most modern Holocausts. So, yes, I do think that the United States, if we can do it, in a way that does not
but,
cause
but Chuck,
a world
stop
war
for a second. Stop for a second. Come on.
Involved in the world, yes.
Chuck, I'll let you interrupt me too. Let me stop you once in a while here, if you don't mind, because
sure.
I've been letting you go on, I know I've been interrupting you too, and that's conversation. But Rwanda, Bosnia, those were hot wars. I mean, there were atrocities. They were horrible. You know, Saddam. You know, if we want to start going after tin pot dictators, can't you acknowledge that this is really, you know, when George Bush looked at the world and said, you know, announced that we were going to attack Iraq, and then he turned to the Iraqi people and he said, and now I have a word for the Iraqi people. And he could have said, you know, we're sending our young men and women over there. Please don't kill them. They're on your side. And instead he said,
your fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells.
This is a just cause for thousands of reasons, not just because it helped liberate 25 billion people from this oppression, but also because it is having a positive ripple effect in that part of the world. There were national interests.
Yeah, see, I think all those things would have happened anyway,
and
Chuck. I think all of those things would have happened anyway.
I don't know if maybe you're sitting by a crystal ball. I don't know. Does this come to you through a TV screen? I don't know
if
anything was going to happen.
Could you just read the news.
Been a Holocaust that could have happened. I mean, the point of the matter is that we had a president who had the moral understanding to take a direct stand. And I'm not criticizing Clinton either, because I think he wanted to.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he went far
this
enough.
This is
I've
not
read
moral.
To a meeting
Chuck.
That, is, oh, I believe it was.
Attacking a country that represents no threat to us is
yes,
not
I
moral.
Think it
let's
was,
let's go to Kent from Illinois.
We did it with the minimal amount of loss of life, and now those people
Kent's gone.
Are finally
okay, Ann in Sarasota.
Have you interviewed
Ann in Sarasota, you're on the Tom Hartman program.
I wanted to make a comment to your guest about. He's getting off track, I think, besides the fact that I don't think that the people in Iraq have been freed because their TV stations, their media have been taken over by the U.S. government. They're not allowed to have free elections. So besides that point of what they're doing over there, the whole reason Bush sold to Congress, to the United States citizens, for going into Iraq and bombing the crap out of them when they did it was we were under immediate threat of attack from Iraq from nuclear weapons and chemical weapons, and if we didn't go in there and do that, we were going to be harmed. And he said it, Condoleezza Rice said it, Cheney said it, Rumsfeld said it, they were all parroting that line. Then when they were not found, it's whoops, well, you know, the people really needed to be freed, so, you know, it was a good thing after all. No, no, no. When you go into other countries and you do it knowing that your information you're getting from your CIA, your other underground sources, says probably not there, that's not a reason, don't go, and you do it anyway, then that tells me, one, there's an ulterior motive, and in this case, I think it was oil, and number two, that you're doing something that's going to change the world forever, because now every other country has the right to do the same, including invading the U.S. if they don't like what we're doing in the world. So you're just setting up for World War III. You can't go back when you do that, and I think Bush has led us down the worst path he could possibly take us.
Okay,
and on that note, I'll let your guest comment.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I you know, Chuck, this has got to be one of the most immoral, or at the very best, amoral things. I mean, here, George Bush telling us,
facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof,
exactly.
The smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
And the fact of the matter is we could have waited for the final proof.
Well,
Hans Blix would have given it to us in another month.
Final proof on September 11th. But the point is that Bush...
Oh, wait a minute. Are you trying to tie 9/11 to Iraq?
Imminent threat. What he said
Chuck, wait. Are you trying to tie 9/11 to Iraq? This is this great Republican trick of saying, Iraq 9/11, Iraq 9/11.
Recently put forth by Winston Churchill, is one that I agree with as well. Nobody said there was an imminent threat. They said, and by the way, the Israelis said this as well, and I look at Israeli websites, I can only imagine what your listeners probably think of the state of Israel, but putting that aside, the evidence was that there was a gathering threat, and there no longer is, or at least it's been reduced. And I believe that this kind of negative view of the world and this isolationist policy is not appropriate today.
Facing clear evidence of peril.
Clear evidence of peril?
What does apparel mean?
Okay.
Look,
Judith in Tucson, Arizona, is on the line.
Whether or not this is found, the verdict is still out. I don't know, you know, and I
the
think
verdict
this
is
whole
still
thing
out.
Of pointing fingers and trying to come up with these cockamamie conspiracy theories that the government knew there wasn't is counterproductive to America's position in the world, and it actually puts lives at risk.
Except it's what the weapons inspectors told the world at the United Nations. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is like watching the news, Chuck. Let's listen. Judith in Tucson, Arizona, has some thoughts. Judith, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I would just like to say a couple of words about the arrogance of this administration and these right-wing people who think that somehow the United States has the right to go anywhere in the world to enforce any of its cockamamie ideas. Clearly, this guy is talking about the, quote, American people, end quote. I'm not included in that. I think we're all connected. I think if you really feel connected to other people, you don't drop bombs on them. I think that peace would make sense. War makes no sense. I think this administration is profoundly deluded. And we also cannot afford to do what we're doing.
Well,
we have a whole bunch of people in this country with no health insurance. We cannot afford what we're doing. This is all wrong.
Yeah. Well, what did you say there, Chuck?
Fine. I think that sometimes you have to be strong in the world because that's reality. There are bad people in the world, and there are bad people who do bad things. And if you're not going to stand up to it, they're going to get bullied.
Being strong and being a bully are two different things.
Well, that's right. And I think that the United States, and I agree with Joe Lieberman on this, was engaged in a just war, just like we were in World War II.
Yeah.
And
Judith,
I think
thanks for your call.
Negative
I appreciate
view,
it.
Is something that was only going to increase danger, not only to us, but to the poor people who had to live in those countries.
Roy in Rio Rancho is on the line. Roy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're talking
to
Chuck Morse.
Could I rant and could I rave? But I'm not going to. if this was so justified, why did not Bush run and say before he stole the election that this was what he was going to do? Have you seen the DVD about the truth of the Iraq invasion, Chuck? Have you seen that one?
I don't know which specifically you're talking about.
The one
and by the way,
the
I reject
the
stolen election
on.
Thing, but that's another
You're talking
one.
About Uncovered?
Yeah.
I'm
going to challenge you, Chuck.
Sure.
You watch that, and you tell me one lie that is on that
Well, listen,
thing
you send it to me,
true.
And I'll watch
no,
it.
No, hang on. You listen to my challenge. It only costs $15.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, send me an email.
Go on to moveon.org and you can find it, okay?
Oh, boy. You mean, is that the one that's comparing Bush to Hitler?
Roy, no, it's not. And Roy, yeah, Roy, calm down just a second here.
Oh, yeah.
No, I understand your passion, and I agree with you. I agree with you. What I'm saying is, Chuck is saying, if you send that thing to him, he'll watch it.
That's right.
And if you want to do that, we can get him back on the air.
That's right.
I will order it, and I will send you a copy of it.
Great, and I'll watch it. I promise you I'll watch it. I'll come back and comment.
Okay, and you can reach Chuck by email at chuckmorse.com, right, Chuck? Okay.
One of the things that I want to talk to you about, Chuck, about that DVD, there's not one challenge on there that I didn't know about. The thing that was did I get cut off?
No, you're
still on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're listening.
There's not one challenge, one misstatement, propaganda fiction that was on that thing that I didn't know about within 2 or 3 days of them making the statement. Now, I might have had to read it on The Guardian or The Jerusalem Post or whatever.
Roy, I'm sorry. I'm gonna interrupt you here because we've got a couple more callers and we're running out of time. But if you and Chuck can work this, I would love to hear his response to Uncovered, the movie Uncovered. Roy, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike from Florida, a recovering Republican. I'm wondering where your defenders are here, Chuck. We are not screening calls
it's your listenership. That's fine.
Well, okay, Mike in Florida. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, listen, I've been listening to you for weeks on this thing. I voted for George Bush, and when he announced this Iraq thing, I always went back to the Kennedy standard. When the Russians had the Cuban Missile Crisis, when they had those missiles in Cuba, we had hard proof and hard evidence of those missile sites. We even lost an Air Force officer in giving more pictures to the president so he can make his case at the UN. And Adlai Stevenson stood there on the floor and backed the Russians down. Now, the thing is, my views are, if this country has always been a country never to start a fight but to finish one. And the thing is, I'm an American first and a Republican second. And when the President of the United States directly puts our troops in harm's way on a baloney war, you're talking about maybe getting a little harsh with people. Let me tell you something. If you've got a Democrat out there that can get harsh and call these boys on this thing, because nobody's playing hardball with these guys. And Helen Thomas, the grand dame of Washington Press Corps, she poses hard questions, and she gets pushed to the back. So more people have to ask hard questions of this administration. Because the thing is, we got a lot of servicemen that are paying the ultimate price. If we have to lose them to defend our freedoms, that's one thing. But to lose them in just a war that has no basis for invasion, that to me is a betrayal of the United States Army. Even the United States Army, and one thing the Republicans aren't talking about now, is with the United States Army, they have you heard of the paper that the War College put out yesterday on this war?
Yeah, we talked about it on the air yesterday.
The United States Army says this is a waste. And the thing is, we've only got so much money to fight terrorism. We've got problems at home to waste money on a baloney war. If it's going after these terrorists in every corner
of
the world...
I got the point, Mike. We got only 30 seconds here left. I want Chuck to be able to comment. I'm sure you would appreciate that.
Thank you, Tom.
Chuck, your response, and then
President
we're going to go
Bush
to a break.
And Secretary of State Powell made the case that there was a gathering threat. They never said it was absolutely imminent, but they made the case, and I agree with that case. And I think the world is safer and better off today because of it.
Okay.
Facing clear evidence of peril.
Yep. Sure enough. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Chuck Morse. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We got one more call here to take. We'll take it right after the break. Pete in Santa Fe. Hang on.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Talk Radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Chuck Morse, who is the a radio talk show host and the candidate for the United States Congress from the 4th District of Massachusetts against Barney Frank. Chuck, here's one of the things that I think it boils down to. I mean, in your own party, you've got people like Chuck Hagel who are saying maybe this was a mistake and Bush shouldn't have done it and blah-de-blah. If this statement, if it turns out that when George Bush made this statement, which he made as a statement of fact, if he knew that that was a lie, that it in fact was not a statement of fact, would you continue to support the war? That's the question. Let me just play this very, very brief clip.
It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons. It is seeking nuclear weapons.
Now, we know now that that is not the truth. If George Bush knew at the time that he said that was not the truth, what do you think the appropriate response of America should be to George Bush?
Well, if he knew that it was, if he was deliberately lying, then yeah, that's a big problem. But I think that given the fact that pretty much every person in government, including my opponent Barney Frank, and given the fact that most world leaders and President Clinton...
Well, they were all relying on George Bush for their information.
No, and President Clinton and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, and no, they weren't relying on Bush, did believe, the general consensus was that Iraq had these weapons or was at least in the process of getting them. I don't think that this was a lie by the President of the United States. I think it's a very serious charge. I suppose if proof could be brought forth, then we can look at it. But I really resent, for example, the fact that my opponent has told a group of impressionable high school students that Bush is a liar without proving it. He's a sitting congressman. His comments have weight. He's not just some talk show host.
Just a second here, Chuck.
And I think it's irresponsible to make a statement like that unless
Don't you think, though, that if the President of the United States is going to make a statement of fact to the American people that is going to lead to the death of 20 or 30,000 human beings, including hundreds of citizens of the United States, that he should at least make sure that that statement of fact is true?
I'll just say that either way, I support the liberation of Iraq. But as far as that statement is concerned, he didn't say he had nuclear weapons. He said he was seeking nuclear weapons. And as far as chemical and biological weapons are concerned, he did have them. He dropped them on his own people.
No, he didn't have them at the time that George Bush
It possesses
said.
And produces chemical and...
No, he didn't. Anyhow, Chuck, we will never resolve this. You and I are always going to stay on both sides of this, but I appreciate you being on the program today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us. Chuck Morse, www.chuckmorse.com. And good luck in the election. I have a feeling
Barney is quite
something to take on. Do good, Chuck. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy.
This ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
On Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Treasury Department has asked for a probe into former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill's possible misuse of documents that may have been classified, a department spokesman said Monday, but O'Neill maintained that he didn't take any documents. Of concern is the document as shown on 60 Minutes that said secret. A spokesman said it was standard operating procedure to refer such a matter to the Treasury's Office of the Inspector General, which investigates potential wrongdoing involving the department. O'Neill said a cover page for the documents might have suggested they were classified material. He said he gave them to former Wall Street Journal reporter Ron Suskind. Suskind said O'Neill gave him 19,000 documents for research on his new book. He said the documents are not classified, and he consulted with legal counsel throughout the process. The United States is shifting its position on which countries will be allowed to bid for a second round of major reconstruction contracts in Iraq, and will allow Canadian firms to compete, a Canadian official said on Tuesday. The official, speaking on the sidelines of a summit of America's leaders in Mexico, said it also was likely that French and German companies would be allowed to compete for the contracts. The United States angered a number of countries late last year when it insisted that only companies from countries that supported the U.S.-led war in Iraq would be allowed to bid for major reconstruction contracts. Republican U.S. Representative Christopher Shays has added his voice to a growing chorus of lawmakers calling on Connecticut Governor John G. Rowland to resign, saying he's lost the trust of the people of this state. In a news conference at the state capitol Monday, Shays said he had been prepared to forgive Rowland for initially lying about his acceptance of gifts from a state contractor and employees, but that he couldn't stand by a governor who refused to account for his actions. Rowland, a Republican, is under fire for lying about gifts he received in the form of improvements to his summer cottage. More IE America news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A Miami man who lived on a golf course for 40 years was told to leave because some golfers complained that he scared them. Other golfers, however, claim the man is harmless and say he should be allowed to stay. Kenny Bethel first showed up at the country-owned golf course after he ran away from home in 1963. He collected and resold stray golf balls, used the club's showers and toilets at night, and slept in a sheltered area that housed the showers. For the last 9 years, he had been joined by his wife, Frances. They have since relocated to a space under a nearby bridge. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Have you been chipped yet? A company called Applied Digital Solutions wants you to undergo a surgical procedure to implant a tiny RFID microchip in your arm. Why would you want to do this? Because radio frequency ID chips will eliminate the heavy burden of having to carry credit cards and remember your ATM numbers. Instead, your arm becomes your card and ID number. Simply run your arm under a scanner, and your embedded radio chip sends a digital signal to the computer, allowing you to complete your transaction. ADS calls its microchip VeriPay. There's only one rational reason that ADS executives think we'll submit to this. They're insane. Insane, but serious. They insist that this technological leap is needed because many people lose their credit cards. VeriPay solves that problem, says a corporate PR flack, cheerfully noting that ADS's chip is subdermal and very difficult to lose. You don't leave it sitting in the back seat of a taxi, he said. Subdermal or not, your ID number still can be stolen by a geeky thief who rigs up a device to intercept your radio-transmitted number, then plays it back later to your ATM machine, emptying your account. If your number is stolen, or if you simply switch credit card companies or banks, what are you to do? No problem, says the PR guy. If you don't want it anymore, you can go to a doctor and have it removed. I call it an opt-out feature, he said gaily. Swell. Instead of simply calling your credit card company to cancel your card, you'd have to call a surgeon. This is progress. Still, ADS is banking on you to get chipped, as they cheerily put it, even offering a $50 discount to the first 100,000 people who sign up. This is Jim Hightower saying, by the way, the honchos of ADS are such business geniuses that the company's stock plummeted from $12 a share 3 years ago to about 40 cents today. I wouldn't entrust two bits to them, much less my arm.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. Telling the truths that multinational corporations would rather you didn't know. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. An internal audit, according to the New York Times. An internal audit of Walmart, now under court seal, warned top executives at Walmart stores 3 years ago that employee records at 128 stores pointed to extensive violations of child labor laws and state regulations requiring time for breaks and meals. This is from an article by Stephen Greenhouse in the January 13 New York Times. The audit of 1 week's, today's New York Times, the audit of 1 week's time clock records for roughly 25,000 employees found 1,373 instances in which minors apparently worked too late, worked during school hours, or worked too many hours in a day. It also found 60,767 apparent instances of workers not taking breaks. This is 60,000 instances. They're only looking at 25,000 employees. And 15,705 apparent instances of employees working through mealtimes. This, my friends, is why we need labor unions. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Paul in Detroit has some thoughts on this. Hey, Paul, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Oh, Tom, you know, from that article, it states, just towards the end of the article, that the stores are systematically understaffed. And
yeah,
the cashiers are urinating on themselves because of lack of breaks.
Yeah, yeah, I read that. And they go on to say, several current and former Walmart employees confirmed in interviews that violations of state law on child labor and breaks were a recurring problem at many understaffed Walmart stores. See, the situation is that without labor unions, you have this aggregation of capital. In other words, corporations can organize. They can organize in the form of a corporation, but you don't have any counterbalancing power. It's all about power, ultimately, and you don't have any counterbalancing power on the labor side. Paul, do you think that the solution to this is to unionize Walmart, or do you have some other solution in mind?
Absolutely. But it just goes to show you how weak our NLRB is. But one more thing from that article. In the lawsuits filed against Walmart, Walmart is declaring to the courts that the audit is meaningless. And that since the audit, they have stopped the employees from clocking out for their breaks and lunches so that when there is employee abuse, there will be no paper trail.
Hmm. And on the other hand, my read of it was that Walmart was using that but also as their defense by saying that sometimes people forget to clock in and out.
Yes, but Walmart is highly regulated. They watch their employees with cameras, listening devices in the break rooms. It's a highly structured environment with very few employees, and they demanded that the employees swipe their card through the checkout to clock when they took breaks and lunches. But since then, you know, in order to eliminate the paper trail, they do not allow the employees to swipe their cards to check out for breaks and lunches.
So the audit showed them that they need to stop doing things that are auditable.
Right.
That's quite a charge. It'll be interesting to see. You know, we don't know if that's actually true or not.
Well, they sure have a lot of witnesses. You know,
but those are the allegations.
A lot of people coming forward in these lawsuits, and you know, there are several lawsuits listed on bigclassaction.com. Walmart, and people can contact attorneys through that website in regards to these cases. There's one right now in Minnesota involving 65,000 current and past employees going back to 1995 in this case. And so those cases can be found on bigclassaction.com.
Okay.
And there's other ways
Great.
Of finding out on the Internet where these court cases are taking place. So everybody that's been involved in this rogue company can be involved in these lawsuits.
Yep. Okay, Paul, thank you. I appreciate the call, and thanks for your comments and for sharing. You know, ultimately, you can always boil the conservative agenda down to one thing, cheap labor. I'd say you could boil it down to a couple of things beyond, you know, because why cheap labor? Well, for more corporate power. And why more corporate power? Well, because the conservative philosophy, I mean, go back and read Russell Kirk's The Conservative Mind, the 1953-1954 book that kickstarted Barry Goldwater and William F. Buckley Jr. and all of these guys, said you have to have various classes in a society. There should be a ruling class, and there should be a laboring class, and that's the appropriate way for humans to be organized. That's the conservative worldview. Forget about we the people. If the aristocracy believes that this is how it should be done, then that's how it should be done. And the aristocracy today is called the corporate aristocracy, the huge multinational corporations. What ails Florida? More evidence that we need a single-payer national health insurance program in the United States. The state of Florida, this is Bob Herbert in yesterday's New York Times, talks about the state of Florida really knows how to hurt a kid. It has money for sports stadiums. It lavishes billions of dollars worth of tax breaks and other goodies on private corporations. It even has money for a substantial reserve fund. But in an episode of embarrassing and unnecessary tight-fistedness, it has frozen enrollment in a badly needed state health insurance program for low-income children. And he goes on to talk about how 60,000 to 70,000 kids who are eligible for this program in Florida, it's called KidCare, are being placed on waiting lists. And then he tells the story of a family and how they're, you know, it's a really heart-wrenching story. Connie Wells, director of the Florida Institute for Family Involvement, told Bob Herbert, quote, "We've had families tell us they've put off buying groceries so they can afford to take their child to the doctor. We have 40 million people in America without health care. Is this, I mean, how can we stand up in the world with pride and say, this is our nation, this is how we want it to be, this is that we are the example to the world of how a country should be? I think ultimately we must be able to stand up and say that. And yet, right now, in the, you know, the con vision of America is not the world. You know, many people in the world are looking at situations like this, particularly in Western Europe. Now, in the developing countries, of course, you know, we're a whole lot better off than Mexico. I agree. But we could be so much better. That doesn't mean that, you know, you don't just stop there and say, well, okay, that's enough. So, anyhow, here, this is from the American Progress, Center for American Progress. While apologists in the Bush administration continue to tout macroeconomic indicators, there's no escaping the simple reality. Americans who are lucky enough to have a job, and this is so much the case, are working harder for less money. You know, our unemployment statistics, we have somewhere between 9 and 10 million people in the United States who are unemployed. When you include the official unemployed and the people who have, I mean, like last month, 100,000 people dropped off the unemployment rolls, as I recall. And George Bush, you know, or somebody from the Bush administration, you know, went on TV and said, isn't this wonderful? Unemployment went down by 100,000 people. Well, what had happened? There were only 1,000 jobs created in the month. What had happened was 1,000 people's benefits ran out. So they're no longer counted. They're now considered discouraged workers. They're not unemployed. But when you look at the real numbers, it's almost 1 in 10 of all Americans are out of work. And nobody is keeping good statistics on the number of people who have the ability and historically have earned a good a living wage who are now working at poverty level. My guess is that we have 9 to 10 million unemployed and we've got 30 million or so underemployed out of the 125 to 150 million people in the American labor force. And this is just it's a national disgrace, and the role of government is to do something about that, and it can and should be here in the United States. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Billy in California is on the line. Hey, Billy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to say a couple things quickly about Paul O'Neill and his giving away of America's top secrets.
Yeah, just like George Bush did to Bob Woodward, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, two things quickly. Number one, everything that the Bush administration does is top secret as far as they're concerned. They're just into secrets. They declare everything a secret, right?
It sure seems that way.
Yeah. And number two, interesting how they immediately, the Treasury Department's jumping on this thing and doing an investigation. Well, let me tell you something. I think that outing a CIA operative is a lot worse than anything that Paul O'Neill has revealed. But you notice those great people, those great Americans in the Oval Office weren't interested in that investigation, have been trying to fight it every inch of the way. And by the way, if President Bush wanted to know who spoke to Robert Novak, he need but ask those people to tell the truth.
Yeah, however, you know, when George Bush was asked about this, his comment was,
I don't know if we're going to find out. The senior administration official, now, this is a large administration.
There's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a large world. So if he can't control his own administration, I don't think he should be in charge of the world. Let's get an honest man, a competent man, and not somebody that embarrasses everybody in America every day.
Amen, brother.
Thanks,
brother. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Billy. Thanks for the call and thanks for the comment. Always good to hear from you. If you've got thoughts, you want to comment, 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Here we are. Anyhow, the Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz says that what high productivity means in reality is that firms are trying to squeeze more and more work out of workers. Actually, you know, we talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago. Really what we're seeing is that a corporation that sends its jobs offshore, if our phone company, yeah, I dial 411 here and I get somebody in India right now, and excuse me, if a phone company was to do that, and phone companies are doing that all across the United States, their payroll suddenly has gone down, but the amount of work getting done is the same. Right? I mean, the people are still answering the phone. They're still handling, you know, 100 calls an hour or whatever it is. So their productivity just went up. And in most cases, the offshore outsourcing is actually done by hiring a third party. So it doesn't even show up as a payroll expense. So what that means is that the existing people who are still here in the United States are considered the only employees. So there's fewer of them, but the same amount of work is getting done. So it looks like everybody's more productive. So productivity goes up and wages go down. And this is, you look at the stock market, you know, going up, and this is the rich getting richer and poverty spreading across America like a stain. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
This representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We've got a Bush Green Watch for you after the bottom of the hour. 25 minutes after the hour right now, by the way. Doug in New York, I don't know if it's in New York City or New York State there, Doug. Where are you located?
I live in Connecticut. I'm driving through New York right now.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I listen on Sirius. I love your show.
Thank you.
And you're talking about the unionization of Walmart and so forth. I'm part owner of a company with 70 employees. We're not a union shop, but I'd love to see the labor movement go a step further and try and help, you know, make some mechanism for small independent companies to also work together to fight these big corporations. I don't know if anything's going on with that. I know David Corton in his book, When Corporations Rule the World, is a big proponent of locally owned companies that have an investment in the community, that have an investment in the people, as opposed to these monster corporations that only care about making a buck and doesn't matter where they get it, cheap labor. So, you know, I'd love to see the model for labor unions change, because I know in a lot of circumstances, people, including workers, don't see them as relevant anymore. I think they're more relevant than ever right now, but I'd love to see if it's somehow that model could be shifted a little bit.
Yeah. It's local unions and locally owned companies, perhaps. You know, and I think, you know, the union movement has done a good job in moving in that direction in terms of creating local. I mean, there are locals, you know, this the local 409, local 126, whatever. And they tend to deal with local issues to a large extent. But yeah, I'm not sure how that should come about. But, you know, the distinction between. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's always been perceived that the owners are against the union, and that's are against the workers and trying to screw them all the time. But I don't necessarily think that's the case in an awful lot of smaller businesses.
And medium-sized
Everybody's
businesses,
working
yeah.
together, and you don't have that us versus them mentality in an awful lot of companies. And really, so it's really a community effort or a communal effort within the company to try and stave off what the corporations are doing, because in every industry there are certain companies that are sort of taking over the industry.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, this is where some folks suggest. I mean, there was a strong movement to try and roll back Taft-Hartley, which opened up the right to work option for states. And I have some real doubts about, you know, whether that'll happen, but whether that's the best way to go. But I think that it's a step in the right direction. Teddy Roosevelt gave a long speech, an extraordinary speech about how, you know, small and medium sized businesses are the business people, are the people who have built America, and we owe a lot to them, and they are upstanding citizens in their community. And then he said, but enough for small and medium business. Now I speak about big business. And he talked about how a big enterprise can be a big danger to a democracy and to the United States. And this is, you know, we have these antitrust laws, first of all. I think, you know, even without unionizing Walmart, any kind of organization that is so large that it can dominate a market is by definition a monopoly and should be broken up.
Yeah. Well, I think right now, too, you know, Howard Dean seems to be the one person who has a chance, who's really talking about fighting the corporate interests and trying to back them down a little bit.
Yeah, and so the DLC is throwing Wes Clark at him. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Doug, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments. This is going to be a really interesting year, a very interesting year, and you know how this shakes out. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A growing health crisis comes down to one simple fact. People are not eating their vegetables. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. The World Health Organization estimates that 3 million people die each year because they don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. That makes this diet deficiency almost as risky as smoking. And the problem is found in every country, rich and poor alike. Some of the world's most widespread nutritional disorders, including birth defects, weakened immune systems, and blindness, are caused by diets lacking in fruits and vegetables. Ellen Muehlhoff is a nutritionist with the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. She says a lot of people cannot get fresh produce.
What is very important is that fruits and vegetables are accessible to people on a daily basis. That means that they must be able to either grow them in their own garden or be able to buy them in the supermarket or the little fruit vendor around the corner shop. So I think that's a very important issue, availability and easy physical access as well.
Muehlhoff says ignorance also plays a role in poor diets.
A lot of people simply don't realize that fruits and vegetables have a very important role for their health, that they have benefits not only in terms of preventing micronutrient deficiencies, but they also have very important benefits in terms of disease prevention. We are learning more every day about the important protective effects of eating fruits and vegetables, such as they provide protection against cardiovascular disease, against diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancers as well.
Muehlhoff offers the same advice you've heard all your life. Eat more fruits and vegetables, at least 5 servings a day, and make sure your local schools include these items in their lunch menus. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
You can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
What
Does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Take a straight and stronger course to the corner of your life. Make the white queen roll so fast, she hasn't got time to make you wife.
Welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We have a Bush Green Watch. I don't know if you know about this website, bushgreenwatch.org. It's great. So here's our Bush Green Watch music. Yeah. What's the Bush administration up to now with regard to the future of our ecology? Among the Bush-Cheney energy bill's provisions, says Bush Greenwatch, is an exemption for a method of gas drilling invented by Halliburton, Vice President Cheney's former employer, that would prevent the EPA from regulating it under the Safe Drinking Water Act. The biggest beneficiary of the energy bill exemption is Halliburton. Analysts estimate that the process represents about $600 million a year in revenue for Halliburton. Karen Wayland, a hydrologist of the National with the Natural Resources Defense Council, says the energy bill lavishes subsidies on Halliburton to boost coal bed methane drilling on public lands while letting the company dump toxic pollutants into our drinking water. What this is basically is a drilling technique where they inject hydrochloric acid, diesel fuel, and chemicals into wells in order to push out the oil and gases. These things then seep into the water. States including Alabama, Colorado, and Virginia have found contaminated water as a result of this. And so the Republicans put together this energy bill in private, in secret, without even any Democrats. And nobody knows who inserted this provision in the bill that would exempt Halliburton from having to be responsible for cleaning up anybody's water that they destroyed with this technique. But it sure is happening. As Henry Waxman said in a letter to the EPA, quote, the administration once again appears to be altering scientific and policy conclusions to accommodate Halliburton. Our Bush Green Watch for the day. Now, back to the telephones, 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number, and Steve in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Steve, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good afternoon. Great to hear you all the time. But anyway, social responsible investing is probably one way in which we can help out the people that are still out there trying to hang on to their jobs in the country. That's one place that I'd recommend, that maybe you can go and provide some links on your website. But I agree with you with regards to using the words correctly, particularly with regards to your guest that you had today, fascism. And it's so creeping in this country that, you know, we just have almost absolutely no idea. Like when people go to a fast food restaurant right now, that they are totally subsidized by the federal government in terms of the jobs that they have. Fast Food Nation covered that pretty good with regards to the $600 million worth of annual subsidy.
The way it works, Steve, just for our listeners who don't understand, is the federal government has a program where if you hire essentially minimum wage people for particular types of jobs under particular circumstances, the government will basically pay their salaries for you. And the fast food industry has jiggled this legislation so that many of the people in the fast food industry who are working in the counters and flipping burgers and whatnot, their salaries are actually being paid by our tax dollars.
Right, that's $600 million a year, from what I read.
$600 million a year. Yeah.
Right, and from that standpoint, what we really should be looking for is a corporation to work program. If we're talking welfare to work,
yeah.
and start making this honesty here. And 3 years subsidy, and then you're off the feds for life.
Yeah.
And imagine what Halliburton would have to do, and Bechtel, and a few of these other companies.
It would be a disaster. Yeah.
And last but not least is how about that Nuremberg trial for the corporations that helped Saddam? Do you think we have any chances of seeing something like that?
You mean Halliburton selling Saddam oil equipment during the in 1998?
Or Bechtel helping to put together his chemical weapons plant?
Oh, really? I didn't know about that one.
I mean, those are some few things. I mean, that's these companies, the same way at the end of World War II, where there should have been a Nuremberg trial for our corporations, which would have exposed, for example, the Union Banking Company and Prescott Bush and all that stuff.
Well, by that time, he had already been put out of business with the Trading with the Enemy Act. I mean, Prescott Bush was shut down in early 44, wasn't it?
Right, and I thought it was untrue at one point in time, so I contacted, and I'd recommend to people who want to go and follow up on it, that curator of the Auschwitz Concentration Camp Museum, because he's got a number of documents to talk about who was on what board and how many people they were using from the camps.
In Auschwitz, Poland, you mean?
Yes.
Huh. Remarkable. Remarkable. Well, Steve, thanks for calling and thanks for raising those issues. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Susan in Arizona is on the line. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I had a couple comments. One was on this work problem in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very upset about Bush's pushing this new immigration law thing.
Yeah.
I feel very sorry for the immigrants. I deal with them a lot. I'm a truck driver. We go to California. These poor people are out there working for nothing in these fields. And instead of letting these people come in and work these so-called jobs Americans won't do, why don't we force the people that are hiring them to pay a wage well worth the work they do, so that everybody would want to go out there and work?
Yeah, I mean, this is what Cesar Chavez was working for with the United Farm Workers Union, and somehow it's gotten co-opted. And when you think about it, people say, well, it'll raise the cost of our food. Yeah, but you'll also have more people who have, you know, more reasonable income. It'll raise the middle class too.
Exactly.
We need to have not just a minimum wage law across the United States that no longer exempts agriculture. See, the rationale for exempting agriculture in the minimum wage laws back in the 1930s was family farms. You didn't, you know, you could let your own kids work, or you could, you know, neighbors could help each other out and things like that. And so they said, oh, we got to exempt agriculture from this. But it makes no sense now. And not only should there be a minimum wage, but the minimum wage needs to be a livable wage, which in my opinion right now is around $10 an hour minimum.
That's right. I mean, I'm a truck driver. I know about this lack of a minimum wage because this is another part of the business world out here that's exempt from the minimum wage law. We get paid by the mile.
Right.
But, you know, that was my point, is if they would force the corporations and the business people to take on employees at a living decent wage, Americans would go out and do these jobs. But,
oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just flat out the only way it would do it.
Yeah.
I know that we run into it all the time where people are getting underpaid on the docks. They're not paying them the minimum wage even. And they're working on the docks, they're working in the warehouses, the processing plant. And, you know, they're getting, like you said, they're getting the cheap labor, and that's all that's important.
Yeah. And
my second point was about, pardon?
Well, I was just going to say, I wrote the foreword for the autobiography of a good friend of mine, Dennis Weaver, the actor, the guy who played McLeod and Chester and all those things. And his book is called All the World's a Stage. And in it, he talks about how during the Great Depression, he and his mother and his brother, and I think his sister, I think there was three kids, traveled from Texas up to Northern California, and they worked in the fields picking fruit. And, you know, they just kind of worked their way up. But that was back when there was a smooth, inclined plane. In other words, you could start at the bottom and work your way up in America. Now what we have are these steps that are so high that people can't leap over them. You know, farm workers are not generally going to go on to something bigger and better like Dennis Weaver did back in the 30s. And it's in large part a result of the fact that we haven't, that we don't have in the agricultural field and other, and in many other fields, these leveling rules where the government says, okay, if you're going to play the game of business in this country, that's fine. We'll provide you with an educated workforce and roads on which you can travel and rights of way for telephone and communication systems and all, you know, police and laws and fire departments and we'll make sure that you have a legal system so you can enforce your contracts and we'll keep the currency stable. We'll do all that. But in exchange, here's the rules of the game by which you have to play. And the whole con agenda is to destroy those rules so that you have a, quote, free, end quote, market, which is merely to say free for corporations to exploit humans all they want.
Right.
Pardon the rant, Susan. You had another point you wanted to make.
Oh, about Paul O'Neill
mm-hmm.
and the fact that he's come out and outed Bush on the fact that Bush has had plans from day one to take over in Iraq. Well, he had to go over there and take over Iraq because if the UN inspectors, when they were going to be let back in, if they had found any of the chemical or the biological weapons, like the anthrax, the botulin, and there's about five or six others, if they mm-hmm. had found any of those, they could have traced them back to the United States of America. Because in the 80s and up until 1990, our government rubber-stamped companies here to sell to Saddam Hussein's Iraq these biological agents.
Yeah, but Susan, everybody in the world knew that. I don't think that he...
I mean, everybody in the world knows it, but it seems that the average person is totally forgets these things. It's like Iran-Contra. It's like we gave satellite photos to Saddam Hussein of Iran so he could bomb these people. But the everyday average American, I speak to a lot of Americans who are... Like I said, I'm a truck driver. I get all over the country. The things that the average person just doesn't know because they don't take the time to read a newspaper. They only get their news like from Fox or the quick little blips from CNN, and their memories are extremely short.
Yeah.
And I know what you say. Educated people who take the time to read, to investigate, do know these things. And we keep a timeline and we keep track of this stuff. But the everyday person
and we have
has
an obligation
to
share it.
And yes, you're right. We have an obligation. But, I mean, he had to get the UN inspectors out of there. He had to take over the country. We will never know what the military finds in Iraq because if it can be traced back to Bechtel, Halliburton, any of these other companies, they're going to hide it. They have to hide it.
Well, you know, Susan, but it's all a matter of public record. I don't think that he went. I agree with you that he had to get the inspectors out. And I think the reason was not because they were afraid that they would find things that would be embarrassing to the Bush 1 administration, because it was, I mean, this was just it wasn't even a secret. It was open. It was well known. I think that they had to get them out because they knew that they were going to discover that there was nothing there.
Well,
and then they would have no rationale for war.
Exactly, and they knew exactly how much stuff the man had because we were behind supplying him with these weapons. I mean, we supplied him for the Iran war.
And we knew that the sarin would have gone bad within 2 years, and we knew that, you know, some of these things had to be stored under particular conditions that required, you know, refrigeration and things. It is becoming so clear that Russia and Germany and France and China were correct at the United Nations when they said, and Hans Blix, the inspector, said, you know, it looks like there's nothing there. There's no reason to go to war unless you want to try and take all the Iraqi companies and sell them off to American corporations that contribute to the Bush campaign, and if you want to try and take the Iraqi oil and pump it all to the United States. That seems to be the only reason. And essentially, that's what they were saying, and it looks in retrospect like that was the case. That was the case. Susan, thank you for calling. I appreciate your call and you're taking the time to call in and keep driving safely. The caucuses are happening in Iowa in 1 week from today, as I recall. It's on January 19th. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I think that's a week from today. Maybe it's a week from yesterday. Anyhow, a caucus, what is a caucus? How does this work? The AP did a nice little sidebar on this. I just want to share this is democracy. You know, when Howard Dean said that the those who are the most extreme on both ends of the parties rule the caucuses, there is an element of truth to that, but it is as there is to the statement that in the primaries you have to cater to the base, and then in the general election you have to cater to the broad spectrum of Americans. I mean, It's simply the fact. But at the same time, for those people who, and the bottom line is because it's about those people who are sufficiently passionate to get involved. So anyhow, with the caucuses, the way it works is at the precinct level, you got all these people who get together and they share their opinions and they basically try and talk each other into things. And then they come up with a candidate and they say, okay, this is our candidate. And they toss that up to the county delegates. They pick a delegate to go to the county convention. Their delegates from the county conventions go, and there's 1,993 political precincts in Iowa. And they go to the county meeting and they try to convince, you know, and achieve some kind of consensus. And then those delegates go to the district convention. The process is repeated there. And again, at the state convention, where delegates are ultimately named to the national convention. And Democrats will send 45 people to the national convention. And the caucuses in Iowa date back to 1846, the year of statehood. It's fascinating. Pete in Santa Fe is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Hey, Pete, thanks for calling. What's up?
Yeah, I tried calling earlier, but my cell phone cuts me off if I wait too long. I'd like to address both what you're saying right now and what you said earlier. First of all, I'd like to say that one of your callers said that the major motivation for going to war was oil. I think probably that's the secondary motivation. I think the primary motivation was wag the dog.
To get the attention away from the Cheney scandals and the Bush scandals.
And Bush was, you know, portrayed as a complete clown, and he got to trade that image, you know, in for a swaggering war hero.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you've talked a lot about the war being really reprehensible or illegal because it's preemptive. There's another issue that I think is even more critical, and it
got about
really
30 seconds here, Pete.
That we're violating the Geneva Convention, and that is the issue of proportionality. You know,
proportionality of response.
Pardon me?
Proportionality of response.
Yes,
we're just about out of time.
You can't have 3,000 people get killed and then go out and kill 20,000.
Right. Yeah. Well said, Pete. Although, you know, some acts are symbolic. We only had a few thousand people die in Pearl Harbor, but look what it led to. But I understand what you're saying. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Peter in Santa Fe, hang on. I'll take your call after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Radio Program here on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that
that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
Yet we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Down in the hollow. Playing. New game, laughing and a running, hey, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning.
And welcome back. You're in the Democracy Zone, Tom Hartman. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont, and the engineer down in Detroit by Char Jones. Thanks, Char, for doing a great job running the board and the program today. Our music engineered by Brad Walrod, and thanks to all the folks in the chat room for dropping in. It is such a pleasure having you folks and hanging out with you and talking to you during the breaks. Peter from Santa Fe is on the line for a last word for today's program. Hey, Peter, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
You are doing great. Oh, I'm doing well. I'm driving over La Bajada Hill, and I think we might get cut off, so I better stop the car so we don't get cut off.
Okay, we got about a minute and a half or so. Yeah, turn down the radio.
First of all, I wanted to agree with Susan. I guess that was her name, the truck driver?
Yeah, from Arizona.
I thought she had spunk, and I really enjoyed listening to her. That's when I turned on the radio, and I'm on my way to Albuquerque from Santa Fe. I did see the 60 Minutes with Paul O'Neill. And then I have AOL. I'm a subscriber to AOL, and one of the little news pop-ups was, will the Bush administration now investigate Paul O'Neill? And I put a little post. I said, of course he'll investigate Paul O'Neill, either that or expose Paul O'Neill's CIA wife. And then, of course, my post got deleted somehow. I guess whoever's in charge of those boards deleted my post. But I told you, Tom, I think the first time I called you was several months ago, and I said that Bush was going to win for the first time in 2004 because he was going to find Osama and Saddam. My timing was wrong on the Saddam part, but I think he'll find Osama. I mean, I'm sure he's already found him, but they'll expose it in October, maybe September 11th or something like that.
And I'd say October. In September, they've got the convention going.
And the other thing is, I think Hillary will be the first female president of the United States in 2008. But it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate that people aren't seeing these things. I mean, everybody was so, fervor was.
We're out of time, Peter. You can wrap it up.
Thank you. Ken Starr, all that stuff was popular back then. I wish it was popular again today against Bush.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to take Democrats in the House and Senate to make that happen, and that's why it's so important that you register to vote and you get out there and get active. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks, Peter, for the call. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. We'll see you then.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Yes, thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan chi la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan chi la.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.